Part two of our series, Brand New. I like the fact that it's a brand new series called Brand New. Didn't get that good of a response last week. But anyway, just want to tell you some exciting things that are happening here just before we get started. I know you've already heard of several things, but just want to mention actually one thing that happened this past week, and that is that the Ziners, Larry and Michelle Ziner, left Friday back to the Ukraine, and if, for those of you that don't know, they're in the process of adopting two children from an orphanage there. We've actually hosted them here before, the Ziners have, and we as a church, and so the Ziners have been in a process that has been really right at a little over a year now, that they've been in this process of this adoption of giving these people a home here in America, but not just that, but a forever home in Christ. And so we're so thankful and so honored to be a part of that. And so Larry will be back in about a week. Michelle is actually going to be there for the duration of the month. And our hope and prayer is that by the end of this month, that Michelle will return with two orphans that will be here forever. Come on, be here to stay, okay? And so just want to, did I have that wrong? They're not going to be orphans anymore when they come back. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. The Ziner family setting me straight. All right, exactly. And isn't that beautiful? Because, you know, in Scripture it says that He sets the lonely in families. And I'm so grateful for that because every one of us were orphans, but now we're adopted in and we are sons and daughters in Jesus Christ. Now, that's a message right there. Come on now, that's worth, come on, give it up, give it up. That's what it's all about. Thank you so much. Well, I set this all up just to let you know that Larry and Michelle actually are in Ukraine now, and they have a message that they have sent to us this morning. Check it out.
Hi, Cross Point. We made it. We're in Ukraine right now. We're getting ready to go to court this Wednesday to adopt our boys. Right now we're in Kyiv. I hope you have a great service today. Miss y'all.
Bye. Bye. See ya.
Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Exciting, exciting stuff. So, and I just want to say especially, I appreciate all those that have invested in this cause, and there's still opportunity to do that. And so I want to encourage you in that. You can all you have to do when later in the service we receive an offering, there's an envelope there, and you can indicate on that offering that you want it to go to, actually, we're calling it our legacy offering. If you want to just say legacy, we're leaving a legacy for the next generation, right? And so just thank you so much for that. I'm just so pumped up about that, so excited. So good stuff, good stuff, good stuff. Well, today I want to go ahead and get into our series, and go ahead, if you like, inside your worship guide, there are message notes. If you'd like to take out your little notes there, we're going to have a lot of fill in the blanks. I've given a lot of scripture today because I just want to really get the word in you today. In fact, at the beginning of this year, I felt like God was really impressing upon me that we really need to be feasting on the word of God. You know, some of us falter in our faith. Some of us, you know, we're like up and down, in and out, highs and lows. You know, one day we're way up here, the next day we're way down here. And why is that? Well, you know, when you look at your body physically, a lot of times we find ourselves on a roller coaster physically because, you know, we're eating right, we're exercising right, we're doing the right things, we feel good. But then if we taper off of those things, if we go without eating, you know, for a period of time, you know, we begin to feel the effects of that. Well, can I tell you that when we don't feast on God's word, it'll have an effect on our faith. In fact, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So it is through the word of God that our spirit man is fed. And so I just want to encourage you, really feast on God's word today. And so I've given you a lot of scriptures, but hopefully I'll feed you well today and you'll leave really satisfied having received from God's word today. And I want us right up front, look at our theme verse that's there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and our theme verse is we're looking at this fact, and that is that we're in a very resolution season where people make New Year's resolutions, and we're trying to make life better. We want to make changes, and we don't want to do what we've been doing. We want to change. We want things better than last year. And so in looking at that, let's look at this theme verse that's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that says, when someone becomes a Christian. Now, we could stop right there because a lot of times when we think when someone becomes a Christian, we think of a lot of different things. We think, well, when someone becomes a Christian, they become more religious, they go to church more often, they get baptized, they start trying to live a better life, and we start thinking about external changes. But really, this isn't just about external changes, because look what it says there. It says, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a new person. Everybody say this with me. Inside. It says he's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. So what we're talking about in this series is not external change, but what we need to happen is internal change. And that is that we need to become brand new on the inside. And so the reason for this series is in the hopes of our New Year's resolutions and new year, the beginning of this year, that we're going to experience change. But here's the deal. Our thesis in this series is that the greatest change is not external. It's not external. It's not about I need to change my schedule and I need to fix my finances. I need to, you know, work on my spending habits. I need to eat better. I need to exercise. All of those are important. We're saying those are great. Keep doing those. I encourage you, you know, to do those things. But the greatest change is internal, because here's the reason. The internal change has the power to affect all of the external. And a lot of times we try to change all the external and nothing seems to be working. But the problem is it all starts with the inside. So we have this what I call a resolution dilemma. And that is we're trying to make changes to our life without anything changing on the inside. And so we end up lifeless back in the same place. And my desire, my true desire, is to see you guys reach your goals and have success in every area of your life. But it all happens, it all starts with the inside. That is the spiritual. And we've said this before, and that is that this will be the best year of your life if this becomes the best year of your life spiritually. And so it isn't just about changing things and therefore everything becomes better, right? We've heard many people who have been very rich and famous that have said, I wish everybody could be rich and famous and find out that it doesn't work. You can have all these things working on the outside, but when you have it working on the inside, when there's change on the inside, everything changes. So the spiritual power that happens on the inside has the power then to affect your eating, to affect your finances, to affect your exercises, to affect your fitness, to affect all these different areas of our life. But it all starts on the spiritual. And the spiritual has the power to help all those things work. Last week, we talked about starting with the spiritual life. And I encourage you, you know, if you weren't here, get the message notes. You can go online. You found out how in the announcements there. And go online, go to our Facebook, and there's links there that you can find the message notes and incorporate these things into our life. And that is, that, listen, when we invest in the spiritual, things are going to happen. I encourage you this year, church, invest in those things that are eternal. Invest in those things that really matter. I mean, you know, get into church and go all in. Don't just attend church and go through religious form, but go all in. I mean, get into the church and whatever the church is doing, I mean, get in it. You just can't enjoy a sport like you can when you get in and get doing it, as opposed to being on the outside looking and observing it. Your life will change only when you participate and you get in. I mean, if the church is offering, we'll offer a growth track. You heard about a moment ago. Get in there and do that. We're coming up on small groups. Get into a small group and get connected. It'll change your life. If we're stressing, read the Bible. Come on, read the Bible daily, every day. You know, go all in, do everything. And I'm telling you, when it does, everything makes sense. In fact, a lot of things we're doing around here, if you're just looking from the outside in, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But when you begin to do those things, it works for you. So I want to show you today the connection between the spiritual and the physical. And the spiritual and the physical. You know, we all have goals. In fact, this time of year is a real big time of year to set goals physically. You know, you're going to get in the mail at the beginning of the year all of the gyms advertisement, because they know this is a prime time to get you. This is their Christmas time of the year, right? Is to get you in and get you rolling. But we all have needs, you know, our desires that we want to do to achieve maybe physically. And in fact, I heard of someone that had had a spouse that was very, very lean, very trim. The wife was very, very trim and in shape, and the man wasn't really in shape. And so he was asking his wife, he said, "What's your secret, you know, to getting in shape?" And she said, "Well, I have this thing that I adhere to, and that is in the morning I eat like a king. Just eat whatever I want in the morning. And at lunchtime I eat like a prince. You know, I just kind of trim it down a little bit. And then in the evening I eat like a pauper. You know, just maybe little orange slices, just something real light in the evening." And so this husband decided he would try that, and it was working well for him, but every evening he had this little voice in his head that said, "Long live the king." You know, come on, babe. You know, pizza and Pop-Tarts at midnight. You know what I'm saying? So, but you know, we have these goals that we want to achieve. You know, one guy said, "My doctor said my weight is fine. I'm just 11 feet too short." Come on, somebody. So, but there are areas of our life that our body is oftentimes out of control. And I'm not talking about just getting in shape and, you know, getting our abs in shape. But I'm talking about that there are places sometimes in our life where our body is calling the shots. Our body is calling the shots. In fact, there's a word, you can write this in your notes if you like. The word is debauchery. The Bible talks about this word, debauchery, which the definition of that is extreme indulgence in your senses. And what that simply means is your body is calling the shots. Your body is calling the shots. And so debauchery is just that indulgence in your senses. See, here's the fact of the matter, folks, and that is that we are a triune being. We're a triune being. We have a body. That's what we see today. We have a body that has desires. We have human desires. We have sexual desires. We have eating desires. We have desires to breathe. We have, you know, there's desires that we have from a physical body. And then we have a soul. And that soul is our mind, our will, our emotions. You know, even a dog can have emotions. You've seen dogs get happy or sad, right? And there's that soul part. But then there's the spirit. And the spirit of us is that part that God put in us, that part that makes us unique and that will cause us to live forever. That part will live forever. And so listen to this. We're triune being, we're body, we're soul, we're spirit, but all three want to be in charge. And only when the spirit man is in charge, though, will you have success. But each one wants to be in charge. And the body wants to be in charge, and the body doesn't care about your self-esteem. It's going to do what it wants to do. It's going to get what it wants to get, and it will destroy your self-esteem in the process. Your emotions, I don't care. You know, I'm just going to do what I feel like I'm going to do. Even if I destroy my body, I don't care about the body. I don't care about my spirit, man. You know, I'm just going to. And so each one of them wants to be in charge. And Paul talks about this, and he called it the body of death, actually. And I want to look in Romans chapter 7, where he talks about this dilemma that he has. He says, For I have the desire to do what is good. I want to get in shape. I want to do my finances get in shape. I want my life to be back in order. I have this desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. He says, "For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing." And then he says, "Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it." Now isn't that interesting? He says, I want to do this, I can't do that, and everything I want to do. And then he discovered what it is. He said, "There is sin in me that's doing this, but it is sin living in me." And so it is a spiritual condition is what he has identified on the inside that has put everything out of order. He says, I hate to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. I don't like this behavior. I don't like this habit. I may be addicted to smoking or addicted to drinking. I can't seem to break that. I'm a person addicted to pornography. Can't keep from clicking on that thing and looking at that and going here and going there and doing that. or you know, and so we're addicted to these things. And so there's this frustration in our body because the body is in charge. And you may be here and you may be frustrated, and there may be some secret area of your life where you're frustrated because you're just bound up. And that is the problem with that is the body is in charge. And Paul says this, he goes on in verse 24 to say, "What a wretched man I am. Oh, this is terrible. I can't. Nothing seems to work." And he says, "Who will rescue me from this body?" And look at his answer. It's interesting. He says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Isn't that interesting? He doesn't say, "Well, I just need to get in a support group and I need to go exercise more. I need to do it." No, he says, no, all those things are good. But he says, here's the real answer. He says, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the secret, folks, is getting Jesus Christ inside of our life. It's getting Jesus Christ on the inside, involved in our life, and so that we have a spirit-controlled life. If you read more of the text there, you'll find out that it talks about that the spirit being controlled leads to life and peace. But the body being in control will lead to destruction. It will destroy. And what does it do when it is in control? And look at point one there in your notes. It destroys me. That's what it does. It destroys me. Hey, everybody, we have an enemy. The Bible talks about an enemy that we have. Jesus himself said this, that the thief has come but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. His goal is to destroy. And look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial." I mean, it may be okay, I may be still be going to heaven, but it's not beneficial. Then he says, "Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything." So he says, I'm not going to be mastered by those things. I'm not going to let those things rule and control my life. And that's why I'm loving this season of 21 days of prayer and fasting. You know, you say, "Well, I understand the prayer part, that's good, but why the fasting?" Well, you know, we're talking about the spirit being in control, but when you add fasting to that, you know, you're denying completely one area of your life. You're denying the body so that the spirit man can get in control. You know, a lot of times we pray hoping that the spirit man will be stronger than those other areas of our life, but it puts it in hyperdrive when we fast and when we pray. And I tell you, it's been so encouraging. I want to encourage you to come here on Sunday mornings. You're here on Sunday mornings. Come here every morning during the week. We're having services here from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. every morning. Love to have you join us and be here. In fact, we're connecting with a church called Church of the Highlands in Birmingham, Alabama. And they're live streaming their service times, which is actually from 6 to 7. Now get this, they're there from 6 to 7. On the first Monday of last week, they actually messed up. They did not have police on hand to control the traffic. And so there was a traffic jam. And so they had to let everybody know that afternoon, "We got police coming tomorrow," and for every day. And this is happening all over in their different campuses across the state of Alabama. And thousands of churches are connecting across the country. Our denomination actually is encouraging these 21 days of prayer as well, asking people to pray in their homes. But however you do that, some of you may be connecting online. And I would love to see a show of hands. I hope, I'm not going to do that, but I would hope that a lot of you are really connecting if you're able to do so. On Saturdays, it's from 10 to 11. I couldn't be here because I had somewhere to be Saturday, but I was actually connecting online that way. And you can just go to churchofthehighlands.com. There's a live link there. You can just connect in. But I'm telling you, it was encouraging. And I just encourage you, fast and pray, because what it does, it causes this area of your life to grow spiritually so that you're not mastered by these other things. So we fast to set aside those things. And so, I mean, it really makes a difference. It really does. How many, when you were a kid, used to play King of the Hill? Y'all know what that is? You know what King of the Hill is? See, who all was raised, kind of how I was raised. If we saw a dirt hill, that was a game, okay? If there was a dirt hill somewhere, a dirt mountain, that was a game. And you run up at the top of that hill, and the goal is to stay as the one on top. And so little kids would come along, try to knock you off, and you just, you know, push them out of the way. You know who won that game? It was the one that was the biggest and the strongest, right? Well, guess what? in your life. It's the one that's going to be the biggest and the strongest that's going to rule the day. And so when we feed our spirit man, and when we feast on God's word and we feed our spirit man, listen, then greater is he that's within you, right? Than he that's within the world. And so we've got to get to the place where we're saying, I'm tired of being mastered by these things because it's destroying my life. A second thing that it does, it dilutes my witness. It dilutes my witness. Now, you may have an attitude, say, I don't care what people think. I'm going to live the way I want to do. I don't care what people think. Don't judge me, you know. But that's really not what the Bible says. The Bible actually says that we're to show good works. And that when people see our good works, they're going to glorify our Father in heaven. The Bible presents the idea that we're light and salt. And that we're God's representatives on this earth. And so, really, it dilutes your witness. Kim and I, several years ago, went to a pastor's conference where we met a guy named Jordan Rubin who wrote a book called The Maker's Diet. And he actually had some physical problems and had some difficulties in his life. And he discovered that the Bible, get this, the Bible, he had never looked at it as a nutritional guide. And he began to look at it as a nutritional guide. His whole health turned around when he did that. And he started taking on the ministry of trying to minister to the body of Christ and get them healthy. And his goal was this. I remember him saying his goal was he believed that God's people should be the healthiest people on the face of the earth. Isn't that a great idea? In fact, it says in Deuteronomy that when Israel came out of Egypt, that it said that there was not one feeble among them. And yet archaeologists will tell you, if you study the Egyptians, that you go and you study, you'll find out that there was many diseases among them. And God said, I will not put on you the diseases of the Egyptians if you'll do what I tell you to do the way I tell you to do it. So our Creator who made this body knows how to take care of it. And so I was just thinking about that this morning. I was thinking, wow, you know, honestly, and I got to say, sometimes it's preachers that are the worst. So I'm not saying I got it all together. I'm a specimen here. I'm just saying, sometimes preachers are the worst. They're the worst at violating the Sabbath. And I mean, and honestly, if you want to get a real preacher look, oftentimes it's this gut sticking out about right here. Come on, y'all. I'm just being real with you, you know, come on. I'm just saying, and then it's been prevalent. I don't try to point fingers, but I'm just saying we need to be healthy. We need to be healthy. And because it dilutes our witness, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says this, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. So it's important that we do these things because we're going to need this body to carry out what God's called us to do. Amen? And over the last year, with a lot of physical problems in our family, Lord, I realize how important that is, right? And look at this. Also, another thing it does, it dishonors God. It dishonors God. When our body is in charge, it dishonors God. In the Old Testament, God dwelt in buildings. But in the New Testament, the Bible tells us that he dwells in our body. In other words, our body is the temple of God. One guy said, well, if my body's the temple, I turned it into a mega church. I think that's funny. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says this, do you not know that your bodies are, maybe you don't realize this. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? And he says, shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Never. And so we gotta look at our bodies. You know, we walk into this place, sometimes we think it's holy. Don't cuss here. You can cuss out there, but don't cuss in here. You know, you gotta be reverent in here, but you live differently out there. Well, if you treat this with respect and honor, and this building is not holy, it's you that's holy, what would it look like if everywhere you went, you treated your body like it was a temple of God? Are you with me? Right? That's good stuff. Amen. I'm preaching 50% better than y'all are amening. But anyway, so I just want to call you to a new level of fitness from the inside out that will give power to every area of your life, and it will give you the ability to carry out all these other things that we're wanting to accomplish in our life. And that's a new fitness. Honestly, as I've alluded to, pastors oftentimes are the most unhealthy. But here's the thing. As a pastor, I realize that I need to be fit. I need to be fit. I'm challenging myself here today, y'all. fit for the master's use. I need to be fit for the master's use. Second Timothy chapter 2 says this. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth. Some to honor and some to dishonor. Let me put it this way. In your house, there's some fine china that you pull out when the guests come, right? And then there's some paper plates that, you know, you just kind of use, discard, and get rid of. And he says, so there's both in the house of God. He says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, come on, if you purge yourself from these things that we're doing that we shouldn't do, what would our life look like if we weren't clicking on those things, we weren't doing those things and going to those places, but instead we purge ourselves from these things. The Bible says, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, that means set apart, and fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. When God looks down and says, I need to use that person, we're ready, right? At any given point of time, right? What I'm saying here is, I want to lead you to this new level of fitness, right? Back in the 80s, I'm old enough to remember there was a song, I think it was Olivia Newton-John, Let's Get Physical. Remember, Let's Get Physical? Folks, we need to get spiritual, all right? We need to get spiritual. Physical's okay. That's good. I'm not saying abandon that, but let's get spiritual. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says this, for physical training is of some value, but there's limited success there. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So the spiritual affects not only eternity, get this, but the present life. It's going to give you a better life in the here and now. And so last week we presented three questions about our spiritual journey. I want to give you four questions about getting our body fit. Number one, am I offering daily? Am I offering daily? And some people may not even realize that the Bible asks us to do this, to really offer our body daily. But Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And this is your spiritual act of worship. And so each day we get up, we need to offer our body, right? We need to start at the top and go to the feet, right? God, I offer you my mind. I'm going to think of those things that are pure according to Philippians chapter 4. Those things that are good and holy and those things that are virtuous. God, I'm going to think on those things. In fact, some of us may be fasting and doing away with some social media things in our life and some things that honestly on day 22 should never show back up. Right? We need to offer our minds to God and say, God, my mind is holy yours. I worship you with all my mind. And then we go to our eyes. Let's make a covenant with our eyes. God, as Job said, I'm going to make a covenant with my eyes. I'm only going to look at those things that are wholesome. We're not going to look at wrong things. Guys, you're not going to look at women to lust after them according to Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to pray every morning, God, put a binder on my eyes and blinders and help me, God, to focus on those things that I need to focus on. And my tongue, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm going to speak those things that are, come on, this is good stuff here, y'all. I'm going to speak those things that are good and edifying and uplifting and build up somebody, not those things that are going to tear down and be demeaning and discouraging. Folks, we need a spirit of encouragement in this place. Amen? You need a spirit of encouragement in your home. You need a spirit of encouragement in your workplace. And so when everybody's down in the mouth around you, be the voice of God. Come on. Be the mouthpiece of God and speak life. Amen. Speak life over your own self. Speak life over your wife and over your husband and over your children, right? Speak life. Encourage one another in the Lord. Build up and just move on down. And you could just go to Ephesians chapter 6 where it talks about spiritual warfare and then move on down to your feet. And God, just give me divine appointments today. Guide my steps and guide my life. And Lord, let my hands be busy about whatever I find to do. Do it with all my might for you, God. You know, do all for the Lord. Amen. And what's going to happen? Your life's going to be better. In the words of Uncle Phil from Duck Dynasty, you're going to be happy, happy, happy. I'm just trying to help you, all right? Number two, am I withdrawing weekly? Am I withdrawing weekly? I believe that A lot of physical disease, I believe, happens because we are violating the principle of the Sabbath. We never stop, folks. And I'm guilty. We just run, run, run. I mean, Pop-Tarts aren't fast enough in the toaster for 27 seconds. We got to go for 3 seconds in the microwave. Yeah? I mean, think about it. We just rush through life, and we need to take time to set aside and be still and know that I am God, right? That He is God. Isaiah 58 says this, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking out of words, then you will find joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to rise on the heights of the land, to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. And then he, for emphasis, the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And for somebody, that just may be a prophetic word from the mouth of the Lord to you today. Take time to be still. Pause. Instead of running around like a chicken with your head cut off, and I don't know what that looks like. I wasn't raised on a farm. I just know that expression. We run around, you know, trying to accomplish everything, trying to climb this wall, and we get up to the top of the ladder, we find out it's leaning against the wrong wall. I mean, you know, be still and know that I am God. Talking about spiritual health here. Number three, am I living purposefully? Am I living purposefully? It always works better if you know what your purpose is. Your body can better pull things off. You're better motivated physically when you know why you're doing what you're doing and you have a purpose for it. And if you really want change, you need to live with a sense of purpose. The Bible says where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. If there's no vision, if they don't know where I'm going, hey, I'll eat it, I'll drink it, I'll click it. You know, what? It doesn't matter. Whatever, whatever. But we're not like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly, you know, saying yes to everything. Somebody comes up, do you want to do it? Yes, yeah, yeah, whatever, it doesn't matter, no. I do not fight like a man beating the air, but I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Folks, we need to get prize focused. We need to get eternity focused. More and more, I've been focusing on the fact that this life, honestly, that we put so much weight in, it just doesn't compare. Come on. The Bible says the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that we shall inherit. I've been lately thinking about my father-in-law in those last 15 minutes of his life last year. And we saw this amazing glory show up on his face as his eyes opened and his expression changed as he was about to go into heaven. I want to tell you something. There's nothing in this world that can compare to what, I'm just saying. Nothing can compare to eternity. And our lifespan is nothing but a vapor and this here today, gone tomorrow, but eternity is forever. So we've got to be eternity driven. Number four, am I honoring fully? I mean, really, our sole motivation needs to be this. I was once a slave. I was in bondage. But God looked down and He saw me in my condition. And He said, I'll send my son to be executed so that you and I can get close. And I can't understand that. I got my firstborn. I'm going to be having his birthday next month back here. And I can't imagine, offering him as a sacrifice so that you and I could get close. But that's what God did. And He paid it with His life. How much is it going to cost me? God must have said to Satan, it'll cost you everything. And that's what he gave. He gave everything so that we could have relationship. God did that for us. I want us to get this. He purchased us with his own life. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Get this. Goes on to say this. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Right? We need to live every day with the knowledge that Jesus gave his life for us. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, it belongs to God. He purchased me. I used to sing a song when I was a teenager. If I could remember the lyrics, it said, from the dust of the earth, God created man. His breath made man a living soul. And God so loved the world, he gave his only son. And that is why I love him so. I was made in his likeness. I was created in his image. For I was born to serve the Lord. You and I have been purchased with a high price. With a high price. With a high price. Therefore, I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't know about you. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In fact, I just share this. This isn't a finger pointing because I know 7 o'clock is a difficult time. Many of you are getting ready for work, so please don't take this the wrong way. But my wife and I and my son are able to come here and meet here. And I just think it does something when you show up together. We've been meeting here every morning, just the three of us. You know, the part of you kind of, honestly, the human part of you goes, you look up, you see these people packed in at this church and they're having traffic jam, and you're going, what's wrong with us, you know? So I'm not trying to condemn you, but I did have this thought, though, because my wife said, if nobody shows up, are we going to keep going up there? Can we not do it from the house? And I said, no, we're going to keep doing it. And you're welcome to join us if you can. If you can't, there's no condemnation. Honestly, I promise. I didn't say that to jab at anybody. I'm just trying to make a point here. Because I just said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. There are going to be some things in your life that God's going to call you to do. And nobody's going to understand. But I was praying this morning. And I was thinking of this song. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Another verse says, if none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. I've made up my mind. Some of us got to make up in our mind. No matter what happens, no matter if there's sinking sand all around you and people misjudge you and misunderstand you and all those things that happen in life to all of us, we cannot be driven by our body and by our emotions or like a reed in the wind that gets knocked from circumstance to circumstance. Now, I'm telling you, some of us live that way. I've watched it through the years. And at times I've seen it in my own life. Things happen and so we just get bounced over here. And then we sit there a while until something else happens and then we get bounced over here. And then something happens here and we get bounced over here. We just bounce like a ping pong ball, you know, all around the place. And it's time that we have a real change on the inside. That's what I desire for you. That you're not driven by your emotions, that you're not driven by your body that's in control, but rather your spirit man is in control and you stand firm, roots grounded in Jesus Christ, and say, I have a purpose, I have an appointment that God has called me to, and that's what I'm going to do. Whether anybody goes with me, understands, throws stones at me, whatever, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what you've called me to do. That's where we have to get to, folks. We have to make a decision. We have to make a decision. We've got to honor God every day with that reality. He gave his life to free us. Would you bow your heads with me? Oh, how he loves you and me. We used to sing a song that said those words. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Today is a time to examine our life. Some of us are in slavery, and we've been doing whatever the devil wants us to do, whatever emotions say he wants to do. We're in a cycle of sin. We're in cycles of highs and lows and ups and downs and ins and outs. And the condition we're left in is we're tired and we're exhausted. And we tried religion and church, but it doesn't work. But that doesn't work. But what does work is allowing Jesus to come in the inside. And that's real Christianity. To give him control of your life. Some of you have been close to the Lord and you know it. You're not where you need to be with the Lord right now. You've drifted. You've allowed things to offend and cause you to drift. But I want to give an opportunity for you to come close to God today. Some of you need to get saved for the very first time. You haven't ever given your life God control of your life. You've done religious things, thought religious thoughts, but you've never really allowed Jesus to come in and make the real life change inside of you. I want to lead you in a prayer today of commitment. And salvation, if I could sum it into, put it into one word, it's simply this. It's surrender. It's saying, God, I surrender. I give you control of my life. I allow you to be in control. So I want to lead you in a commitment prayer. And if that's you here today, and you know that today is a day that you really need to make a commitment to allow Jesus Christ truly to be on the inside, in control of every area of your life. If that's you, my heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I just want you to lift up a hand very quickly. Be bold. Come on, be bold. Just lift up a hand, and you can put it right back down. God bless you today. Anyone else? I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I just want to simply lead you in a prayer, commitment, right where you're sitting between you and God. Anyone else? Anyone else? Would you simply pray this prayer with me? Raise your hands. And if you didn't even raise your hand, but yet you know you need to pray this prayer between you and God, pray this prayer in your heart. Just say, Lord Jesus, today I surrender. I give you my life. I invite you to come in on the inside of me. Make me new on the inside. Make me a brand new person. I give you control. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, to set me free, to give me new life. By faith, I accept that you paid for my sins, and I am now free and forgiven of my sins. Thank you, Jesus, and with your help, I will follow you with all my heart all the days of my life. In Jesus' name.